Volume 47, Number 2 of The Friend Magazine for February 2017. Contents. Stories and Features. From the First Presidency, The Lord's Prayer by President Henry B. Eyring. Friendship Brownies. Family Night Fun. CTR Story, The Best Part of the Week. Answers from an Apostle, Elder Gary E. Stevenson. Friends with Heart, Sharing Love with Friends. Question Corner, Multiplication Master. Friend to Friend, Obedience Helps Us Be Happy, by Elder L. Whitney Clayton. Danger at the Ice Pond. Golden Plates, to Book of Mormon. Show and Tell, Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. For older kids, The Dance Drama. I Can Be a Peacemaker When I... Snacks and Crafts. Me, a Bully? Forever Family. Music. Choose the Right. Things to Make and Do. Fun Stuff. Frogs and Flowers. Conference Cards. Fun Stuff. Find It. Church History Figures. Baptism and the Priesthood Restored. Friend Junior. For Parents of Little Ones. Jesus Loves Me. Explorer Everett. Heavenly Father and Jesus Love You. Stories of Jesus. When Jesus Was a Child. Coloring Page. Double Happy. End of Contents. Read by Van Farnworth.
Friends by Mail. Buckets of Mud. I like this story, Buckets of Mud, June 2016. We get a lot of rain where we live. Some people's houses got flooded, so my dad went to help. There was an age limit, so I couldn't go with him. But if it happens again, I want to help. Travis A., age 11, Texas, USA.
How I Read the Friend. I feel happy when I read The Friend. My favorite way to read it is to use the Gospel Library app. The phone reads it to me, and I follow along with it in my magazine. Cameron C., age 9, Utah, USA.
Armor of God. For family home evening, we read and talked about the whole armor of God, June 2016. It was fun to dress up in our own armor. Alex, Hunter, and Savannah V., ages 7, 5, and 5, Utah, USA.
Friend Journal. I cut out pictures from the friend and glued them in a notebook to make a journal. It was fun, and it felt good. Paige S., age 9, Indiana, USA. Dear friends, spending time with your family can be fun, but sometimes family members don't get along. What can you do? Find some help on pages 16 and 34. No matter what your family is like, you are important and loved. We love you, the friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. End of Friends by Mail for February 2017. Read by Maya and Gabriel Reinwand.
From the First Presidency, The Lord's Prayer, by President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. When Jesus Christ lived on earth, his disciples noticed that he prayed often to his Heavenly Father. They asked him to teach them how to pray. The prayer he gave is sometimes called the Lord's Prayer. Jesus prayed, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed meaning holy or sacred. The prayer begins with reverence for our Heavenly Father. Thy kingdom come. When we have a testimony that this is the true Church of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, we feel joy in its progress and want to build it up. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray that even the smallest task will be done as God would have it done. It makes all the difference to work and to pray for his success more than for our own. And forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. We must forgive to be forgiven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. We can remain clean with Heavenly Father's protection, the Savior's atonement, and the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost. We don't often use these exact words when we pray, but the words of this prayer are a perfect example of what we should ask Heavenly Father for. I know that God the Father lives. He hears and answers our prayers. Adapted from Watch Over and Strengthen, Ensign May 2000, pages 66 through 68. Remember to pray. The Lord's Prayer can help us learn how to pray. When we pray, we can use our own words to talk to Heavenly Father about our day and our joys and worries. He wants us to pray to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for, please forgive me for, I ask Thee for, here's what happened today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Copy the words above onto pieces of paper and use them to make a mobile. Hang it somewhere to remind you to pray every day. You could decorate your mobile with pictures from the friend. End of the article, From the First Presidency, The Lord's Prayer by President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Read by David Shaw.
Friendship Brownies by Brian Johansson, based on a true story. Charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with him. Moroni 7:47. It felt just like any other Sunday morning in primary. Brother Barrow and Brother Jensen sat at the front of the class.
Good morning,
said Brother Barrow.
Did everyone have a good week?
Miles popped up in his seat next to me.
Yeah, I had fun this weekend,
he said. He told about a park he went to. After everyone had taken a turn to talk, Brother Jensen began marking the roll. He said, looking up at us.
Samantha isn't here again. Does anyone know who she is? I've never met her before.
I raised my hand. I know who she is, I said. I've seen her at school.
Thank you, Grace. Could you tell us more about her?
I thought about Samantha. It seemed like she always played by herself. She's pretty shy, I said. I don't think she has very many friends.
I think we should do something special to invite her to primary. How would everyone feel about coming to my house this week to make brownies and a card for her?
That's a great idea,
said Miles.
I want to come too, said Haley.
Sounds good. I'll call your parents so we can find a time to get together.
Finally, the day came. We met at Brother Jensen's house, and we were ready to bake.
Who wants to mix the cocoa and baking soda?
Brother Barrow asked.
I do,
said Mason. Soon, we all had jobs to do. Before we knew it, the brownies were in the oven.
Okay, everyone. While we wait for the brownies to bake, let's make the card.
Our card was actually a big poster. We got out crayons and markers and wrote things like, "We miss you," and "Come to primary." By the time we were done writing and drawing pictures, the brownies were done. We put the brownies on a plate and went together to Samantha's house. Brother Jensen knocked on the door, and Samantha's mom answered.
Surprise!
We shouted.
We just want to invite your daughter to primary.
Oh, that is so thoughtful,
she said.
Thank you all so much.
She called to Samantha, and she came to the door.
Look, Samantha, see what they brought you.
Thank you,
she said shyly. I waved at her from the back of the group.
Hi, Samantha. I'm Mason.
And I'm Haley.
We hope you can come to our primary class this week,
said John. At school the next day, I was sitting with my friends and saw Samantha. Hi, I said. Do you want to play with us?
No,
she said, looking down.
But thanks anyway.
I smiled at her. Samantha smiled back a little bit. Okay, I said. Some other time. The next week, Samantha didn't come to primary. I was kind of sad, but I was still glad we invited her. It felt like what Heavenly Father wanted us to do. Samantha wasn't ready to come yet, and that was okay. We could ask again another time, and we could definitely keep trying to get to know her. Who knows? Maybe we could all be friends. The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar. Reach out with love and understanding to all of our neighbors at all times. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, Doctrine of Inclusion, Ensign, November 2001, page 36.
End of the story, Friendship Brownies, read by Eden Reinwand, Pat Murray, Terrell Williams, Miles McClellan, Maya Reinwand, Shauna Thompson, Enzo and Margot Patello, and David Shaw.
Locked out. It was freezing outside, and the cold air bit the cheeks and noses of the Stevenson family. After a fun day of skiing, they walked through the snow toward their car. They looked forward to getting in the car and warming up with the heater. But when Elder Stevenson reached into his pocket, the car keys were gone. "Where are the keys?" he thought. Everyone anxiously waited for him to unlock the car. Without the keys, they were locked out. They couldn't open the door or start the car. They couldn't turn on the heater. The first thing Elder Stevenson did was say a prayer. He asked Heavenly Father to help them find the car keys. Next, he thought as hard as he could about where he might have dropped them. Suddenly, he thought of a ski jump he had gone off earlier in the day. Maybe the keys were there in the snow. Some of the family went back with Elder Stevenson to the top of the ski slope and skied down the run. By the time they got to the bottom of the ski jump, the sun was starting to go down. They searched for the keys as it grew darker. To their amazement, they found the keys just before it got too dark. Praying and finding the keys to their car reminded Elder Stevenson that Heavenly Father will not leave us without help. He gives priesthood keys and authority to leaders of the church to help lead us all safely home to Him. Adapted from Where Are the Keys and Authority of the Priesthood? Ensign, May 2016, pages 29 through 32. End of the article, Locked Out. Read by Dwayne Case.
Building a Temple by Amy Jane Levitt. All kinds of heavy equipment and machines are used to prepare the land so the temple can be built. Bulldozers level the ground. Excavators dig holes. Loaders and dump trucks move dirt and rocks. Once a big hole is dug, cement trucks pour the foundation. After the cement dries, the framework is built out of steel columns and beams. Then more cement is poured to make the temple's inside walls. Join us each month to see how the Payson, Utah Temple was built. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or paper heart. 1. Fill out the form below and send it in with your story or artwork. 2. Send a school picture or other high-resolution photo. 3. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. 4. You must be at least 3 years old. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, a young boy, after having wrapped their tree in tinfoil, turns to his younger brother, who is wearing a cardboard box for a helmet, and says,
"The signal should be strong enough, but who do you know that speaks Martian?" End of the article, Building a Temple, read by Jane Wise and Miles Williams.
Family Night Fun. Here are some family home evening ideas from this month's magazine. What other ideas can you come up with? Finding friends. Read Friendship Brownies on page 4. There are always people who may be missing or left out. we can find them and show we love them. Read Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. Talk about how every person is important to Jesus. We can serve him by finding the lost sheep or helping people who are lonely or left out. 2. Draw some sheep on a poster board. Is there anyone in your family, primary, or group of friends who is feeling lonely? Write one of those names on each sheep. 3. Pick one sheep to look out for this week. Talk together about what you can do as a family to help them and show you love them. Make a plan. Brownie Hearts. Make your own friendship brownies. Be sure to get an adult's help. 2 eggs, 1/2 cup butter melted, 1 cup sugar, 1 teaspoon vanilla, 1/2 cup flour, 1/3 cup cocoa powder, 1/4 teaspoon baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon salt, heart-shaped cookie cutter, optional. 1. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit, 175 degrees centigrade. 2. Mix the eggs, butter, sugar, and vanilla. Stir in the flour, cocoa powder, baking powder, and salt. 3. Pour into a greased 9x9 inch, 23x23 centimeter pan, and bake for 20 to 25 minutes. The brownies are done when you stick a toothpick in the middle and it comes out clean. 4. Cut out heart shapes like the pattern below, or use a cookie cutter if you have one, and share the brownie love with your family and friends. Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org to find stories, activities, and media. New friends. Here are some ideas to help someone who is sad or lonely. Be a good listener. Find out what they like to talk about. Be a friend. Find out what you have in common and what you can learn from them. Watch to see what someone needs and then ask if you can do it for them. Bonus treats. Try this tasty treat for FHE this month. Be sure to get an adult's help. Spread cream cheese or chocolate hazelnut spread on slices of toast. Top with strawberries, bananas, or other fruit. Enjoy! More FHE ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine to find the stories and articles they go with. Find the page numbers below. Idea 1. Read Obedience Helps Us to Be Happy. Solve the code and make a list of ways you can obey this week. Idea 2. Use the scripture figures to tell the story, Golden Plates to Book of Mormon. Move Joseph Smith and the golden plates around the path as you read. Where should Oliver Cowdery and the quill go on the path? Idea 3. Read Matt and Mandy. What did they decide at their family council? Use the ideas on how can I be a peacemaker when I? To come up with ways to solve problems your family might have. Idea 1, page 20. Idea 2, pages 28 and 24. Idea 3, pages 30 and 34. End of the section, Family Night Fun, read by Charlene Stewart.
CTR Story, The Best Part of the Week, by Shanna Davila, based on a true story. Go to church alone? Maybe Jenny would give it a try. I always have a happy feeling when I go to church. Children's Songbook, page 175.
Phew!
Jenny fell back onto the chair and looked at the boxes around her. Moving to a new house was a lot of work. but it was kind of exciting, too. She could see her new neighborhood through the window, including a steeple that poked up from above the houses nearby. Jenny's family didn't go to church very often, but now there was a church building right down the street.
Maybe now we'll go to church more,
Jenny thought. When Sunday came around, Jenny and her family went to their new ward for the first time. In primary, Jenny saw a girl she had met in school that week.
Hi, Karen,
Jenny said, feeling a little shy.
Jenny,
said Karen.
I didn't know you were in my ward. We moved into a house down the street.
Karen asked Jenny to sit by her. Jenny was glad to have a friend at church. The next Sunday, Jenny woke up and put on her favorite dress. She combed her hair and ate breakfast as fast as she could. She was excited to go to her new ward again. But then she saw that the rest of her family were still in their pajamas.
Aren't we going to church?
She asked Dad.
No, not today. We got a bit of a late start. We'll try to go next week.
Jenny was used to missing church, but this time felt worse than usual. She wouldn't get to go to primary or see Karen. At school on Monday, Karen and Jenny were talking about their weekends.
I missed you at church yesterday,
Karen said.
Were you sick?
Jenny's cheeks turned red.
No, I wanted to go, but my family didn't. Oh, well, if you ever wanted to come to church and your family isn't coming, you can sit by my family.
Jenny smiled.
Thanks.
The next Sunday, Jenny's family went to church. But the Sunday after that, they didn't want to go. Jenny thought about what Karen had said and decided to give it a try. So after her parents said it was okay, Jenny walked to the chapel. Her heart was beating fast as she looked inside. Then she saw Karen waving to her.
I'm glad you came,
Karen whispered, scooting over to make room on the bench.
Feels good to be here,
Jenny thought. From then on, Jenny started to go to church every week, even when her family didn't. Pretty soon, going to church was the best part of her week. And Jenny started feeling different during the week, too. She felt happier, and she was nicer to her brother and sisters. It was easier to stop watching videos or to change the channel when something bad came on. One Sunday morning, when Jenny came out of her room, the rest of her family were dressed in church clothes.
We thought we'd come with you today,
Dad said. Jenny liked being a good example. Her family didn't go to church every Sunday after that, but they did start going more and more often, and that made church even better. The author lives in Utah, USA. CTR Challenge. I will do those things on the Sabbath that will help me feel close to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. My Gospel Standards. This Sunday, try extra hard to fill your day with holy, happy activities. Listen during the sacrament prayers and think about what is being said. Write your feelings about Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ in a journal. I challenge myself to fill in the blank.
End of the story, The Best Part of the Week, read by Shauna Thompson, Chloe Patello, Maya Reinwand, and Terrell Williams.
Fun stuff, frogs and flowers. Julio enjoys nature walks with his family. He likes to take pictures of frogs. Mary likes finding red flowers. Dad looks for blue flowers. Can you find which path has the most items for each person to enjoy? Hint, they each have a different path to the house. Then count how many frogs are on all the paths combined. Check your answers on page 39. End of the article, Frogs and Flowers, read by Shannon Nelson.
Conference cards. Here are some of our favorite quotes from October's General Conference. Heavenly Father knows and loves each of you, and He is always ready to help. Elder Ronald A. Rasmussen. All will be made right, all will be well. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Prayer is a gift from God. We need never feel lost or alone. Sister Carol F. McConkie. The only opinion of us that matters is what our Heavenly Father thinks of us. Elder J. Devin Cornish. End of conference cards. Read by Margot Patello.
Answers from an Apostle by Elder Gary E. Stevenson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. What are priesthood keys? Priesthood keys aren't keys you can touch or hold in your hand, like car keys. A priesthood key is the authority or permission to act in Heavenly Father's name. Priesthood keys let church leaders direct how the priesthood is used on earth. Jesus Christ has all of the priesthood keys. When the church was restored, He gave priesthood keys to Joseph Smith to act as his prophet. The First Presidency and Quorum of the 12 Apostles have these keys today. The First Presidency and Quorum of the 12 Apostles direct how the priesthood is used to bless Heavenly Father's children. They delegate or give some priesthood keys to bishops and branch presidents. Because priesthood keys are on the earth, we can be baptized and confirmed, receive a priesthood blessing when we are sick, and be sealed in the temple. End of the section, Answers from an Apostle. What are priesthood keys? By Elder Gary E. Stevenson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Read by Van Farnworth.
Friends with Heart, Sharing Love with Friends. From an interview by Devin Jensen.
Hi, my name is Rentolin. I live on the island of Ueno in the Pacific Ocean. It's one of many islands in the Chuuk Lagoon. I show my love for my friends by dancing with them, singing with them, and inviting them to church. A dance about friends. My friends and I are learning ballet from Sister Hardy, one of the missionaries. We are practicing a ballet about a girl named Lily who got lost on an island and needs her friends to show the way. Inviting my friends. I invite my friends Damina and Sina to church, and sometimes they go with me. I hope they will get baptized someday. Songs of Love. My friends and I like to sing together. My favorite songs are Kindness Begins With Me, I Am a Child of God, and I Love to See the Temple. I love my family, and I want to go to the temple to be sealed with them. Visiting My Cousins. I love my cousins. I travel by boat to visit them on the island of Romanum. My uncle and cousins drive the boat. They drive the missionaries between islands, too.
Rentolin's tips for showing love.
Invite friends to church. Have fun singing and dancing together. Stay close to your family. Become friends with the missionaries.
Send us a heart. How do you follow Jesus by showing love? Send us a heart with your story and photo. See page 39.
End of the article, Sharing Love with Friends. Read by Alyssa Peterson and Margot Patello.
Question Corner. Sometimes I get annoyed with my family. What can I do? Responses are intended for help and perspective, not as pronouncements of church doctrine. Pray to Heavenly Father and ask Him to help you be nice to your family. Hug them. Noah F., age 10, Queensland, Australia.
Try to think about all the good times you've had with them and think about how people aren't perfect. Julia.
Even if they don't say sorry, I would forgive them. Bruna. Julia and Bruna are ages 13 and 8, Sao Paulo, Brazil.
If my little sister is annoying me, I make her bed or make her a treat. I also like to make cards, do extra chores, and say a prayer. I feel the Spirit telling me I did the right thing. Adeline B., age 9, Tennessee, USA.
If you don't like what they are doing, ask them to stop.
I love them because they love me.
Chantel S., age 4, Taquira, Venezuela.
I can be kind to my family, and when I am annoyed, I can tell them that I love them and then be nice. I can follow the Savior and show them love.
Just be happy and share with them and serve them. Julia and Darren S., ages 8 and 6, New Mexico, USA.
I would pray, have family home evenings, and talk to them. Louisa R., age 9, Baja California, Mexico.
Next question. I have a sister who is making bad choices. How can I help her? Send us your answer and photo by February 28. Email us at friend@ldschurch.org with question corner in the subject line. Use the permission statement on page 39. Read more question corner answers at friendqc.lds.org.
End of Question Corner. Read by Enzo, Chloe, Margot, and Ocean Pacello.
Find it. Fun stuff. Find it. This group of friends wants to help a new girl at school feel welcome. Can you find the hidden objects on page 17? End of Find It. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Multiplication Master by Jessica Larson, based on a true story. The test was coming, but Luca had a plan. Love the Lord and do your part. Children's Songbook, page 9.
9 times 7 is 63. 6 times 8 is 42. No, that's not right.
Luca furiously erased his answer.
Time.
Luca's teacher called.
Everyone hand in your tasks.
Oh no,
Luca thought.
But I'm not even done.
Luca sighed as he handed in his test. He had to get a 90% on his time tests to pass his multiplication tables and become a class multiplication master. But he just didn't know how he was going to do it. That night during family scripture study, Dad read from the Doctrine and Covenants.
Therefore, if you will ask of me, you shall receive. If you will knock, it shall be opened unto you.
Luca's head popped up. That was the answer. Prayer. Luca started praying every day to do well on his timed multiplication test. This would work. It had to work. He would finally become a multiplication master. On Tuesday, Luca came home from school and grabbed his basketball.
Do you need help studying?
Mom asked.
Nope, I've got it taken care of,
Luca said as he ran out the door. He believed so much in prayer that he didn't even take out his flashcards to practice his math. On Friday, Luca knew he was going to pass the test. But when he sat down to take it, the answers just didn't come, and he did even worse than before. Luca walked home from the bus stop with his head down. He had prayed so hard to be a multiplication master. Why didn't Heavenly Father answer his prayer? When he got home, he shot baskets until Dad came home from work. Dad honked the car horn as he pulled up.
How was school?
Dad asked, walking over.
Not very good,
Luca said, looking down.
I can't pass my multiplication test.
Oh, that sounds pretty discouraging.
He held up his hands for a pass.
I should have passed. I prayed and everything. Dad, you said that Heavenly Father answers prayers. He definitely didn't answer mine today.
Did you practice with your flashcards?
No.
Did you study?
No. But I prayed all week.
Dad dribbled the ball and looked at Luca.
Well, multiplication is kind of like basketball. How did you get so good at basketball?
I practiced.
Yes, and so when we pray for Heavenly Father to help you before your games, we're not praying for Him to magically make you a better basketball player. What do we pray for?
For me to remember what I practiced.
Right. Prayer works best when we do our part and also ask Heavenly Father to help us.
So my part is studying my flashcards?
Exactly,
said Dad, passing the ball back to Luca. Luca heaved a big sigh and took a shot. The ball bounced off the rim.
So, I should study hard and ask Heavenly Father to help me?
There you go. Now you ready for a little one-on-one?
Luca grinned and stole the ball from Dad.
Sure, as long as he helped me study at the same time.
You're on. 6 times 5 is?
30!
Luca took another shot. This time, it swished through the hoop. Between practice and prayer, maybe he would become a multiplication master after all. The author lives in Texas, USA.
Sidebar. Lily S., age 7, from Arkansas, USA, says, "Once I wanted to learn how to do the monkey bars, but I fell. So I tried again, but I fell again. I could only get to the 3rd bar. I prayed to Heavenly Father to help me be brave. After my prayer, I felt ready to try again. This time I made it to the 4th bar, then the 5th. I was getting better. I knew Heavenly Father would help me be brave enough to keep trying so I could get better." End of the story, Multiplication Master, read by Van Farnworth, Enzo Patello, Charlene Stewart, Scott Christopher, and Natalie Moore.
Friend to Friend, Obedience Helps Us Be Happy, by Elder L. Whitney Clayton of the Presidency of the 70. When I was young, my family was not active in the church. My parents were good people, and they taught my brothers and me to make good choices. We always knew they loved us and wanted us to be happy. In my home, my parents expected us to obey. Every Saturday was work day. Dad was a doctor, so he got up very early to go check on his patients. Before he left, he wrote a list of chores on our big chalkboard. Every week we tried to do the chores as fast as we could, but somehow the chores always lasted the whole day. It wasn't terrible, though. We liked spending time together. Mom made us lunch, and Dad came home to eat with us. We all took a break and sat outside together. We were happy when we obeyed. When I was 11, Dad decided that we needed to go back to church. At first, I went only to obey Dad. But soon I gained my own testimony of Jesus Christ. I had a good feeling when I was at church. I realized later that this feeling was from the Holy Ghost. I learned that obeying Heavenly Father makes us happy. When I went to college, I met a lot of different people. I noticed that those who were active members of the church and followed Jesus Christ seem happier in some ways than those who did not follow Jesus Christ. I could see the difference in their lives. I knew I wanted to be happy. I know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. Living the gospel will help you to be happy. If you do the good things that your parents and church leaders teach you, the Holy Ghost will guide you and help you feel peace. You will still have tough times, but you will skip the sadness that comes from not following the commandments. Life won't be perfect, but it will be wonderful. From an interview with Jill Hacking. I can obey. Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, verse 21, tells us that all blessings come from obedience. Joseph Smith made a promise to be obedient. Use the chart to decode the message and see what he said. Check your answer on page 39. Bonus. Now use the code to write your own message. Heavenly Father blesses us when we obey. Can you solve this puzzle? Every column, row, and group of 4 must contain the letters O-B-E-Y, obey. Check your answer on page 39. Bonus. Pick a word and make your own letter puzzle for someone to solve. End of the article, Friend to Friend, Obedience Helps Us Be Happy, by Elder L. Whitney Clayton of the Presidency of the 70. Read by David Shaw.
Danger at the Ice Pond, by Anna Nelson Shaw, based on a true story. Alice was just trying to help, but then something went terribly wrong. Is any sick among you? Call for the elders and let them pray over her, anointing her with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Alice wanted to watch the men who were helping Father cut big blocks of ice out on the pond. Instead, she was in the kitchen, setting the table for Mother, Father, and the men. Mother set a pan of biscuits in the oven.
You've been a good helper. Would you please go call the men for dinner?
Oh, yes,
Alice said. Now she could see the ice being cut.
Bundle up. It's cold.
Alice got her coat and headed for the pond. She loved to skate there, but it was more than a playground. Father and the other men cut ice from the pond. They stored it in a shed called an ice house. When the weather warmed up, people bought the ice and used it to keep their food fresh. Alice climbed down the hill toward the pond. She saw Father with his horses, pulling a claw-shaped tool to mark the ice. Some of the men followed behind. They used the marks to guide them as they cut blocks. Others used poles to pull the blocks out of the water. Alice called out,
"Dinner! Hot stew and biscuits!"
Father was deaf, but he could guess why she had come.
"Go on in,"
he told the men.
"I'm going to stay and lift my marker out so it won't get stuck in the ice."
Alice waited while Father finished. Three big blocks floated nearby. She picked up a pole. She pulled in one block, then two. But the last block was just out of reach. Then Alice noticed another block near her. It had been cut on the sides, but not on the end. The men had left it attached to the ice that touched the shore. It seemed like the perfect place to stand and reach the block still floating in the water. Alice stepped onto it. As she stretched out her arm, the ice broke. With a splash, she fell into the water. Alice screamed. She tried to keep her head above the water and saw Father turn toward her. He couldn't hear her, but he must have seen the splash. Just as her head dipped below the freezing water, she felt something tugging her toward the shore. It was Father, using an ice pole. He picked Alice up and ran for home. Alice could feel her body shivering. She knew a bad chill could make people very sick. The winter air was freezing her wet clothes. She was becoming stiff and cold, like a block of ice. Finally, they were home. Father pushed the door open. The workers stood up. Mother ran to the door.
"What happened?"
she asked.
"Get the oil,"
Father said. Mother brought a small bottle of oil that had been blessed by the priesthood. Father spoke to the men.
"If you hold the priesthood and are worthy, please help me give Alice a blessing."
Several men stepped forward. Alice felt Father put a drop of oil on her head. She closed her eyes. He said something about authority and priesthood. Then the others put their hands on her head, too. Father spoke.
"In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless you that you will have a speedy recovery."
Alice could feel her body relax. Her fear was melting away. Father finished the blessing. Alice opened her eyes and smiled. She stretched her fingers and wiggled her toes.
"You're like a cat with 9 lives.
One man joked.
"No, she's the faithful daughter of a faithful father."
Father could understand Mother by watching her lips.
"I think Alice has a faithful mother, too, and good neighbors. Heavenly Father will bless her. She will be fine."
Alice never even caught a cold that winter. She remembered her father's blessing and lived to tell this story to her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. The author lives in California, USA. Sidebar: do not be hesitant to ask for a priesthood blessing when you are in need. Elder Dallin H. Oaks,
of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Priesthood Blessings, Ensign, May 1987, page 39.
Sidebar by Elder Dallin H. Oakes of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Do not be hesitant to ask for a priesthood blessing when you are in need. Elder Dallin H. Oakes of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Priesthood Blessings, Ensign May, 1987, page 39.
End of the story, Danger at the Ice Pond. Read by Kristen Hawkins, Kara McClellan, Shannon Nelson, Van Farnworth, Austin Peterson, and Dwayne Case.
Golden Plates, the Book of Mormon. Number 1. The angel Moroni showed Joseph Smith where to find the golden plates. They were buried in the hill Cumorah. Number 2. 4 years later, Joseph and his wife Emma went in a wagon to get the plates. Number 3. People tried to steal the plates many times. Once, Joseph hid them under the bricks of the fireplace. Number 4. Another time, he hid them in the barn loft. Once on a trip, Joseph and Emma hid the plates in a barrel of beans. Number 5. The writing on the plates was in an ancient language. Through inspiration and the power of the Holy Ghost, Heavenly Father helped Joseph Smith translate what the writing said. Number 6. Joseph used a special rock called a seer stone to translate the plates. He also used a tool called the Urim and Thummim, two clear rocks bound together with metal that looked like a pair of glasses. This tool had been buried in the hill Cumorah with the plates. Number 7. Joseph didn't have much schooling, so he wasn't good at writing or spelling. But Heavenly Father helped him understand what the plates said. Number 8. Oliver Cowdrew was one of Joseph's scribes. He wrote down the words as Joseph read them out loud. Martin Harris and Emma were also scribes for a short time. Number 9. Only a few people saw the plates. 8 men, called the 8 witnesses, saw and touched the plates. Number 10. The 3 witnesses saw the plates too. They also saw an angel and heard God's voice. You can read the testimonies of the witnesses at the beginning of the Book of Mormon. More about the plates. The pages were thin sheets of metal. Ancient symbols were carved onto the metal. The plates were written in a language called Reformed Egyptian. The plates probably weighed 40 to 60 pounds, or 18 to 27 kilograms. That's about as much as 5 bowling balls. Part of the plates were sealed, so they couldn't be opened. The Book of Mormon comes from the unsealed part. Heavenly Father has promised that someday we will have the translation of the sealed part too. See Ether chapter 3, verse 27, and Ether chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. End of the article, Golden Plates to Book of Mormon, read by Scott Moore.
Show and Tell. At family home evening, I asked my brothers and sisters to write a letter to me to help me decide if I should go to church or to my gymnastic meets that were on Sundays. I got some great answers, and they helped me decide it was more important to keep the Sabbath day holy. Piper C., age 10, Virginia, USA.
One day, some of my friends wanted to play tag, and one friend wanted to play frisbee. We started playing tag, but I noticed that my other friend looked lonely. I joined him, and soon all my friends joined us playing frisbee. We all had fun together, and no one was left out. Corbin K., age 10, Montana, USA.
One day, I was sad and grumpy. My mom said sometimes that just happens when you grow up. I got out my scriptures and started reading to my mom. I felt the Holy Ghost comfort me. Abigail H., age 9, Île-de-France, France.
In my free time, I like to go outside with my dogs, Bane and Ivy. I am so grateful for the beauty Heavenly Father has given me. Ty S., age 12, Missouri, USA.
After I read the scriptures, my mom helps me understand the chapter that I just read. I learned if we are righteous, we can go back and live with Heavenly Father again. Denzel E., age 6, Laguna, Philippines.
I have made the choice to keep the Sabbath day holy. This means that I do not play on electronics on Sundays. I know that it was a good choice, and it helps me feel the Holy Ghost. Gage R., age 6, New York, USA.
The Flora Vista Ward Primary Children Bloomfield, New Mexico Stake put together 100 toy bags and gave them to the nearby Children's Cancer Society in Albuquerque, New Mexico, USA. This activity was inspired by a new member of their primary, Katie E. Katie had been in the hospital for cancer and got a similar toy bag that was donated by her stake in Arizona.
Look at all the missionaries in front of the temple Samuel G., age 6, from Norway, built.
Nancy and Daniel H., ages 9 and 4, Utah, USA, like playing together. What would you write on your heart?
Other contributors to show and tell. Corinne I., age 7, Idaho, USA. Laura V., age 11, Maryland, USA. Thomas G., age 10, Suffolk, England. Find more art online at childart.lds.org.
End of show and tell for February 2017. Read by Salem Tullis, Scott Moore, Wes Nelson, Aidan Williams, Gabriel Reinwand, and Ocean Patello. Music. I can play it. Choose the right. Words by Joseph L. Townsend. Music by Henry A. Tuckett.
Choose the right when a choice is placed before you. In the right, the Holy Spirit guides. And its light is forever shining o'er you. When in the right your heart confides. Choose the right, choose the right.
Watch a sing-along video for this song at children.lds.org. Click on Videos. End of the section, Music. Read by Wes Nelson.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's episode, Matt and Mandy are quarreling about house chores.
I thought it was your turn to take out the trash.
Nope, did it all last week.
Not when you had soccer practice.
I swept the floor for you because...
Mom overhears them and interrupts their argument.
Whoa! Are chores becoming an issue again?
Well, he...
Well, she...
Time for family council.
Later at the end of family council, Dad asks...
So, what have we decided?
If we have a problem, we'll talk it over. Help each other out.
Even volunteer sometimes.
I'll improve the chore chart.
And I'll clean out the ice cream that's cluttering the freezer.
I'll dish it up.
I volunteer to eat it.
End of Matt and Mandy.
For older kids, a house has a door on each side, and all of the doors face south. A bear is walking around the house. What color is the bear? Answer on page 39. My haiku. If you lack wisdom, you can say a prayer to God and get an answer. Laurel F., age 9, Texas, USA. Send us your gospel haiku. See page 39. Dear Journal, choose a favorite scripture and write about what it means to you. Draw a picture to illustrate it. Think about it. He knows all the things we don't want anyone else to know about and loves us still. Elder Garrett W. Gong of the 70. Secret Service. Get some friends together and make a treat for someone who needs cheering up. I think the best part about being a member of the church is that I can share the gospel whenever I want. I also like the fact that Mormons are all over the world. Celestia T., age 10, California, USA. Let us hear from you. How do you like the For Older Kids section? How can we make it better? What issues and problems do you need help with? Send your answers to Friend, 50 East North Temple Street, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150, or email us at friend@ldschurch.org. End of the section For Older Kids, read by Maya Reinwand.
The Dance Drama by Jane McBride, based on a true story. Choose the right way and be happy. Children's Songbook, page 160. Hey, Sophia, want to go to the Valentine's dance with me? Sophia turned bright red. She didn't know what to say. Kyle Thornton was one of the cutest and nicest boys in the seventh grade, and here he was asking Sophia to the dance? Sophia knew she shouldn't date until she was 16, but part of her really wanted to go. It would be so much fun. And besides, the dance was at school, so meeting Kyle there wouldn't exactly be a real date. But Sophia didn't feel super comfortable with the idea. Can I tell you tomorrow? She asked. Sure, no problem. Kyle smiled and walked to class. After school, Sophia's best friend Ashley ran up to her. I heard Kyle asked you to the dance, she said. That's so great. Sophia shrugged. You're going, aren't you? Ashley asked. Well, my family is going to make cookies and take them to a care center that day, Sophia said. I'm probably going to go with them. You're kidding, right? Ashley said. You can do something with your family any day. This is important, especially since Kyle asked you. Sophia knew lots of girls liked Kyle. What would they think if she said no? But how could she tell Ashley she couldn't date yet? I gotta go, Sophia said. Mom needs me home right away to watch the twins. Okay, said Ashley. Let me know what you decide. When Sophia got home, Mom gave her a quick hug before hurrying out the door to go visiting teaching. Sophia and her 8-year-old twin brothers, Mateo and Leo, spend an hour building block towers in cities. As she played with her brothers, Sophia thought about the dance. All of her friends were going. She thought about Kyle and smiled. It would be fun being at a dance with him. But she knew what the prophets had said. Kids shouldn't date before turning 16. She wanted to be obedient. As fun as the dance might be, Sophia knew what she had to do. At school the next day, Sophia saw Kyle in the hallway. She took a deep breath and walked up to him. She had practiced what to say all morning. Thank you for asking me to go to the dance with you, she said, but I can't go. Why not? Kyle asked, his smile fading. I'm not going to date until I'm 16, Sophia said, but we can still be friends. Kyle's shoulder slumped. Okay, I guess I understand. They said goodbye and Sophia walked to class. She hated seeing Kyle so sad, but she also felt okay about her decision. On Friday after school, instead of picking out an outfit and doing her hair for the dance, Sophia frosted heart-shaped cookies with Mom and Dad and her brothers. Instead of going to the school gym, Sophia went to a care center to pass out cookies. In the main room at the center, Sophia noticed a piano in the corner. She knew several primary songs by heart, so she asked her family to sing along while she played. People sitting nearby clapped at the end of each song. When she and her family had finished singing A Child's Prayer, Sophia saw that several people had tears in their eyes. Thank you, one lady said. That was even better than the cookies. Will you come back? Sophia smiled. Of course. Maybe she could even invite her friends and Kyle next time.
The author lives in Colorado, USA.
If this happens to you, here's what you can do. Mark the things Sophia did in the story. Be polite and kind. Thank them for the invitation. Explain that you're not going to date until you're 16 or that it's a rule in your family. If they ask about the church's teachings, don't be scared to tell them. Suggest another activity. Having friends is important, no matter how old you are. End of the story, The Dance Drama, read by Natalie Moore and Wes Nelson.
I can be a peacemaker when I let go of angry feelings in a healthy way, like exercising or writing in my journal. Use a kind voice and kind words. Listen to others even when I don't agree. Suggest ways to solve a problem. Use I messages like, I feel blank when you blank. Please blank. Say sorry when I make a mistake. Pray to Heavenly Father for help in getting along. Try to understand how others are feeling. Remember, being a peacemaker doesn't mean you let other people hurt you. If someone is being really mean to you, tell a parent, friend, or trusted adult right away. You are an important child of God, and you deserve to be treated with respect. End of I Can Be a Peacemaker When I, read by Levi Williams.
Snacks and Crafts. For a fun origami heart bookmark, go to page 35. Pizza time! Make this easy pizza dough and then get creative with the toppings. This makes two medium pizzas. Be sure to get an adult's help. You'll need 3 cups all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon yeast, 1.5 teaspoons salt, 1.25 cups water. Step 1. Mix all the ingredients in a bowl. Add a little more water if the flour doesn't all mix in. Cover the bowl with plastic wrap and set aside for at least an hour. Step 2. Preheat oven to 500 degrees Fahrenheit, or 260 degrees Celsius, and grease 2 9 by 13 inch, or 23 by 33 centimeter, baking sheets. Step 3. Sprinkle a large spoonful of flour on the dough and flour your hands. Use your hands to fold the flour into the dough. Step 4. Split the dough into 2. Stretch each piece across a baking sheet. If there are any holes, just push the dough together. Step 5. Cover with sauce, cheese, and toppings. Bake for 15 to 20 minutes until the crust is golden brown. End of the section, Snacks and Crafts, read by Rena Nelson.
Me? A Bully? By Marilee Borin, based on a true story. Be ye kind one to another, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It had been a great day at school. Jeff had spent all recess playing tetherball with his friend Ben. After 2 years at his new school, Jeff was glad to finally have a best friend. Ben liked the same things as Jeff did, and they always had lots to talk about. When Jeff got home, he saw Mom waiting for him. She didn't look happy at all. His smile faded away.
Jeff,
Mom said,
I got a call from the principal today. She said you've been bullying a boy in your class.
I have not,
said Jeff. He knew that bullying was wrong. A bully made people sad and afraid. Jeff had never done anything like that.
Are you sure?
Mom asked. She made room on the couch for Jeff.
The principal said you and Ben tell Sam to go away, that he's not in your club, and that he can't join unless he jumps off the top of the slide.
Jeff looked down. Sam asked to play with them almost every day, but Ben was his best friend, and they liked playing by themselves. That didn't mean he had been a bully, did it?
Is it wrong for Ben and me to play alone?
It didn't seem fair that someone called him a bully just for playing with his best friend.
You two can still spend lots of time together, but when Sam is around, it's wrong to make him feel left out and alone. The principal said you called Sam names for not jumping off the slide.
I did not.
But Ben had, and he had laughed.
Remember how you felt when we first moved?
Jeff nodded. School had been really lonely at first. He had prayed a lot to find a good friend.
What do you wish people had done?
I wish they'd invited me to play games at recess or sit with them at lunch.
Isn't it amazing that you have such a good friend now? You can be someone who helps people who are lonely, like you used to be. I'm going to give you a challenge. Tomorrow, I want you to find out 3 cool things about Sam. Then tell me after school.
I can probably do that,
Jeff said, staring at his shoes. He hadn't meant to bully Sam. He wanted to be kind like Jesus. Tomorrow he could tell Sam he was sorry, and he could tell Ben that he wanted Sam to play too.
Hey,
said Mom. She tipped Jeff's chin up.
You are a good, kind boy. Sam will be lucky to have you as a friend. And guess what? I bet you'll find out you're lucky to have Sam as a friend too.
Jeff smiled a little. Ben could still be his best friend. It wouldn't hurt to have another friend too. The author lives in Utah, USA.
Kindness challenge. Find out 3 cool things about someone you don't know well. Think what Jesus would do. Memorize a primary song like, If the Savior Stood Beside Me. You don't have to be best friends with everyone, but you can choose to be kind. Do something nice for someone you don't get along with.
End of the story, Me, a Bully? Read by Wes Nelson, Levi Williams, and Kara McClellan.
Forever Family, a true story written by you, Allison C., age 11, Texas, USA. I wanted to create this poem because I am really comforted by the knowledge I have that families are forever. On the first day of fourth grade, my grandma, who lived in my home all my life, passed away. I'm glad to know I have the opportunity to see my grandma and family again in heaven. Families are forever. One thing that keeps me going, it keeps me feeling strong, is that families are forever and we always get along. I love them very dearly, and I know they love me too. Heavenly Father is waiting with our relatives who just came to earth for bodies or got older and just passed. Grannies, grandpas, all ancestors aren't just history or past. They really are still living. They haven't left for good. We'll see them up with God in the heavenly neighborhood. All of them mean something. We're all one family. We miss them, yes we do, but they're waiting there for you. End of the poem, Forever Family, read by Alyssa Peterson.
For parents of little ones, preschoolers are beginning to learn about the Savior. Their hearts are open to Jesus' love, and their ears are open to stories and music about Him. Long before little ones understand what Jesus has done for them, they can know He loves them and feel love for Him in return. 3 ways to teach little ones about Jesus. Choose a wall, shelf, or scrapbook to display pictures of people who love your child. Include a picture of Jesus along with pictures of your child's favorite relatives and friends. Point to the pictures and ask him or her to name all the people. This can give you a chance to tell your child who Jesus is and that he is real. At music.lds.org, you can search the children's songbook for songs about Jesus. Listen to them or sing them throughout the week. When children hear, He sent His Son, they get a simple message about the Savior's mission. When they listen to, I'm trying to be like Jesus, they learn that Jesus is kind. At bedtime, tell stories about Jesus. Little ones will listen to almost anything that begins, Once a long time ago. You can visit scripturestories.lds.org and use the illustrated or animated versions of scripture stories too. You can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of the section, For Parents of Little Ones, read by Van Farnworth.
Action Rhyme, Jesus Loves Me by Amanda Hill. Jesus knows the little birds and numbers them each one. And all the fish in oceans blue are known by God's own Son. If Jesus cares for animals on land or in the sea, then think of just how much he loves a little child like me. End of the action rhyme, Jesus Loves Me. Read by Margot Pacello. Explorer Everett by Jennifer Maddy. Explorer Everett likes to dig for treasure. He pretends that sparkly rocks are gold coins. He pretends that sticks are dinosaur bones. Everett runs to show Mom what he found. Look out! Everett trips over a rock and hurts his knee. He feels very sad. Mom puts a bandage on his knee. Let's say a prayer, Mom says. They pray that his knee will feel better. Now Explorer Everett is on the hunt again. As he looks for a treasure map, his knee starts to feel better. Everett feels happy. He knows that Heavenly Father and Jesus love him. End of the story, Explorer Everett. Read by Mia Peterson.
Stories of Jesus, When Jesus Was a Child, by Kim Webb Reed. When Jesus was a child, he lived with Mary, Joseph, and his brothers and sisters. He learned from his family and his heavenly father to be wise and strong. Every year, Jesus and his family went on a long journey to Jerusalem. They went there to celebrate a holiday called Passover. One year, when it was time to go home, Mary and Joseph thought Jesus was traveling with friends. After a day, they noticed he was missing. Where was Jesus? Mary and Joseph hurried back to the city to look for Jesus. They found him at the temple. He was teaching men about the scriptures and answering their questions. The men were surprised that he was so wise. Jesus said he had stayed at the temple to serve his heavenly Father. We can learn about the scriptures and tell others about Jesus. Then we will be serving Heavenly Father too. End of Stories of Jesus, When Jesus Was a Child. Read by Kara McClellan.
Double Happy by Christine Merrill, based on a true story.
Here is your class,
Lily said. It was Sam's first day in primary. Lily was happy to help her brother. When Sam cried, Lily sat by him. She helped him feel better. Sam was scared when they went to class, so Lily stayed with him. Lily helped Sam every Sunday.
Lily, you have been a good helper with Sam,
Mom said one Sunday.
Now it's time for his teacher to help him instead.
But if I don't sit by Sam, he'll cry.
I know. But his teacher can help. Then you can go to your class, too.
Lily frowned. She didn't think this was a good idea.
Sometimes we need to obey, even when we don't know why,
Dad said.
When we obey our parents, it helps us learn to obey Heavenly Father.
Okay, Lily said. She hoped Mom's idea worked. Lily sat with her own class in primary. Sam cried for a little bit. His teacher helped him. Soon Sam was singing songs with the others. He liked primary. Lily liked sitting with her class, too. After primary, Dad asked how it went.
It was great! Sam only cried a little. We both had fun with our classes. I showed Sam how to be reverent.
Now Lily felt double happy. She was happy she helped Sam, and she was happy she obeyed. The author lives in Maryland, USA.
End of the story, Double Happy, read by Rena and Shannon Nelson and Mia Roseanne and Austin Peterson.